Tonight we are going to do the portion, actually one verse, on John. Jesus in John, part 1. Many Christians as well as unbelievers would ask, why there are four Gospels? Couldn't God speak to us with one Gospel? I think we talked about this, but I like the way the 2nd century ancient Christian writer Origen said his answer. So in my opinion, he gave the best answer. There are not four Gospels, but one fourfold Gospel. It gives a different perspective. Let's think about the different perspectives. Number one, since I cannot see what's behind there, the Gospel of Matthew, writing to the Jews, was interested in establishing the regal right of Jesus as the King of Jews. In doing so, he traced the genealogy of Jesus back to David and Abraham through his earthly father, Joseph. He set forth Christ as a Redeemer, King of Israel, the Messiah promised to the forefathers. In the Gospel of Mark, writing to the practical-minded Romans, was interested in capturing those shots of Jesus that showed him as a servant, happened to be the shortest Gospel. Consequently, we don't see a genealogy of Jesus because a servant at the time did not have genealogies. Yet Mark had his eyes on the activities of Jesus, which would appeal to the Romans. The Gospel of Luke, writing to the Greek audience, was focused on Jesus' humanity. So Luke traced Christ's genealogy all the way back to Adam through his earthly mother, Mary. Throughout his account, Luke captured the Son of Man as a kinsman redeemer of the whole new human race. The Gospel of John, writing to the timeless, universal audience, John stressed the deity of Christ and his unique relationship with the Father. So whenever we do the new book, go through the new book, we always take a look at a few things in a systematic way. First one is the author and the timeline. It's obvious that this gospel is written by the apostle John, who often describes himself the disciple whom Jesus loved in around AD 90. It's not that because Jesus loved John more than anybody else. John was just grateful that Jesus loved him. And John was one of those Jesus' inner circle disciples with Peter and his brother James. And it was the same disciple who reclined at the Jesus' breast, the chest, at the Last Supper. And he was the one who was chosen to take care of Jesus' earthly mother, Mary. Remember the scene? Jesus hanging on the cross and looking down and seeing Mary and seeing John, his disciple, he said, take your mother. And from then on, John took care of Mary. Obviously, John was a man of a warm affection with the power of love that he learned from his Savior. In his gospel, he can easily find the love between the Father and the Son of God and God's love toward mankind. Two different love between the Father and the Son and between God and humankind. The theme of the book, keep your finger in verse 1 of chapter 1 in John, turn to right all the way to chapter 20, please. Chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written so that you may, what? Believe. You may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that By believing in him, you will have life. By believing in him, you will have the life. You will have life. That sums up the gospel. Wouldn't you agree? By believing in Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life. That's it. One word can sum up this gospel of John. Believe. We have 66 books in 1,189 chapters and studied 1,240 verses of truth in this Bible. But if people choose not to believe it, it does not matter and it does not benefit them one bit. And just because those people choose not to believe, it doesn't mean that the truth does not exist. Oh yes, truth exists whether people believe it or not. I said this, probably I will repeat it. Long ago, I remember J. Vernon McGee said, God says, I believe, that settles it. With all due respect, I disagree. God says, that settles it, whether I believe or not. Our belief in Jesus Christ is for our own benefit. It's not for God, for our own. Those who believe in his name become the children of God. Chapter 1, verse 12. I'm going to just run a few things to you. After turning water to wine in Cana, Jesus at the wedding, Jesus' disciple believed in him. Chapter 2, verse 11. Jesus told Nicodemus, the Son of Man must be lifted up so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. You guys all know this. John 3, 15 and 16. And many Samaritan people got to believe in him because after he talked with the woman at the well. And same thing with the royal official and the whole his whole household when his son was healed in chapter 4, verse 53. As well as a blind man. Remember, Jesus healed him with the mud on his eyes? In chapter 9, verse 38. If he did it now, probably somebody will sue him for illegal malpractice. Part of John's style in stressing belief is to contrast with unbelief. John chapter 3, verse 18, please. We know John 3:16 well, but probably not many people can quote John 3:18. You there yet? He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, much like the Proverbs style, comparing the opposite side. If we choose to believe the truth of God, he will start to show us and make it known to us what we could not understand before with a carnal mind. Remember, again, 1 Corinthians, we see that the Apostle Paul tells us, before we are saved, we have a carnal mind, and without the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand the truth of God. Here's several interesting facts that I found in the book of John. First one, John was probably the last gospel written, and written in the view of what the previous three had already said. This is the one reason why John is so different from Matthew, Mark, Luke, which are known as a synoptic gospel. Synoptic. Synoptic means a see together. And the first three Gospels present Jesus' life in very much the same format. The first three Gospels focus more on what Jesus taught and did. But John focused more on who Jesus is. Second fact is that there are significant events in the ministry of Jesus that Matthew, Mark, Luke included. But John left them out, leaves out, including Jesus' birth, baptism, temptation in the wilderness, and the agony in Gethsemane. And you may say, oh, I think it's there. Trust me, there's a praying portion, and he just skipped the whole thing. Last Supper, cross the Brook Kidron, and then he get arrested. There's no prayer time. And the ascension, demonic confrontation, and parables. Yes, there are no parables in the John's Gospel. Third fact, the first three Gospels centered on Jesus' ministry in much around Galilee. John, his first Gospel was what Jesus said and did in Jerusalem. That's the reason the majority of John's Gospel centered around the incident that happened within 30 days before Jesus' death and resurrection. As you can tell, on Sunday morning, we'll spend a lot of time in John's Gospel. We're still in chapter 14. I thought we were going to skim through that thing in two teachings. I thought, wow, how wrong I am. And then chapter 15 and 16, pretty much into the 17. And you can mark my word, we'll spend about minimum of two months easily. Because it's one of those things, what's the purpose of going through so fast? Just to say, we finished again? Fourth fact, John shows us who Jesus is by highlighting seven signs, also known as miracles of Jesus. Six of these miracles have never been mentioned in the other three Gospels. John alone tells of the wedding feast at Cana, where Jesus turned the water to wine. By the way, wine cost is going up because the drought in Italy and France, and then all the fire in California. You guys are not affected by it, are you? All right. And the conversation with the Nicodemus, not mentioned in other Gospels. And the woman at the well in chapter 4, never mentioned. Raising Lazarus from the dead, chapter 11. And Jesus washing the feet of disciples, and the teaching about the Holy Spirit as a divine comfort in chapter 14, and so on. It fills what other gospel missed. Fifth fact about John's Gospel, John shows us who Jesus is by allowing Jesus to speak for himself in seven dramatic I Am statements. The infamous I Am statement of Jesus as God revealed himself to Moses by the name I Am, what? That I Am. That means Jehovah. God is a self-existent one who was and is to come. So when Jesus used the name I Am, he was definitely claiming to be God. Are you done? Some people are slow, and my remote doesn't work well. Out of all four Gospels, the book of John is the most theological book where the rest of the entire New Testament get their roots. According to many theologians, 92% of materials in John is found only in John. Highest percentage of unique material among the four Gospels. If you still have the harmony of the Gospel chart I provided for you, you will notice a lot of things then connecting together, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're all listed side by side. And then there's a lot of blank spot in the Gospel of John section. And when it comes to the last 30 days, Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't have a whole lot of things in there, recorded in there. So we'll start with the verse 1, chapter 1, please. In the beginning. Which verse does this remind you of? Genesis 1:1. Okay, let me ask you this. Is that the same beginning? And I know what you're thinking. It sounds like a trick question. I'm not going to answer that. It's not. They're not even remotely resemble. So keep your finger right here, go to Genesis 1:1. If you're at index, you went too far. Okay, let's read the first verse together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Stop. What does it mean? Does it mean that that's the beginning of the God? That's the beginning of everything? No. Because in the Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That beginning starts at the creation by God where time starts. But the beginning from the John's Gospel goes far beyond that. It is the beginning that cannot be measured by our concept of time, because time has not been created by God the Lord yet. And it was when our eternal God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit alone existed, not even the angels. You with me? Just three of them. Were there light when there are only three of them? Were there any light? If there is no light, wouldn't they bump each other? Huh? Yeah, just light. No, they're in perfect harmony, so why would they bump at each other, right? Just three of them. Nothing, no trouble, no whining people. Trouble didn't start until he created a human. I post the picture of Jesus holding bread and the fish, a cartoon. I found this Lori sent it to me, so I posted it. And one guy asked, is that gluten-free? I'm a vegan. And then another one said, did that fish test it for the mercury? It's like, that sounds like us. Always complaining for something. God is before time, after time, since time itself is a part of God's creation. It is impossible to put God in our definition of time. God is not ruled by any form or shape. I was thinking this. I wouldn't be surprised if the time kinds of disappeared after millennium. Think about it. Maybe so. Maybe I could be completely wrong. Bible talks about the millennium, 1,000-year period. 7-year tribulation, rapture, 7-year tribulation, and then Jesus coming back for a second time. Are you with me so far? And he set up the kingdom on earth, millennial, 1,000 years. After that, Satan will be thrown into hell. Even the hell will be thrown into the lake of fire. From then on, we don't see any mention of time in Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. I'm not going to make a denomination out of that thing. We'll always make a big theology. But if the Bible does not mention the time, maybe it's time will be disappeared because it goes into eternity. Who knows? All right. Let's pass in the beginning. In the beginning was the word. The word is in Greek is logos. You guys know that, of course. We get the English word logo from this word. So what is special about this? I dig around a little bit. The idea of logos has a deep and rich root in both Jewish and Greek thinking that we don't get our English word. Getting our English word. The ancient Jewish rabbis referred to God, especially in his more personal aspect, in terms of his word, they often spoke of God himself as the Word of God. We can find a good example of this from the ancient Hebrew edition of Exodus 19:17. Can I change the slide? Yes? No? Exodus 19:17. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet the Word of God. That's Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew edition of the Old Testament. New King James said, Moses brought the people of God, people out of the camp to meet with God. So the word of has been deleted. But the reason the ancient Hebrew choose that way is because it's a more personal aspect. Greek philosophers thought that logos was the power that set the world in perfect order and keep it going in perfect order. They saw the logos as the ultimate reason that controlled all things. When I found this in the commentary, that reminded me the way God created the heaven and earth. Do you know how He created heaven and earth? Exactly. There is only one creation that He actually used His hand. Do you know what that is? Man. He formed man out of the dust. Thus we hear the word, that dust to dust. He spoke the word, and the creatures and creation existed. Only human, He actually formed, and He breathed air into the human's nose. John, Apostle John, met both Jews and Greeks where they are, and explained Jesus in the terms they already understood. That's an example of being a good communicator. So let's pass those first sentence. So continuing John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Did you get that? It says the Word was with God. You don't say, I was with me, right? To use the word, you have to have two different things. Either I say, I was with Hub. He cannot say, Hub was with himself. If he said that, you want to step aside because he is in La La Land, right? You have to be at least two different person to use the word with. And in other words, from the beginning, there was no when there was no one existed with the exception of God Himself. The Word was with God. This is such a brilliantly simple sentence to verify the second person of a Trinity in Christianity. Am I making sense? By saying the Word was with God. And it brings another very important thing. The preposition with in the phrase of the word was with God indicates both equality and distinction of identity along with the association. Within the context of the first portion of this chapter, first chapter of John, we all know that the word is Jesus. If you read the rest of chapter 1, you'll find that come to the conclusion that Word is Jesus. Do you know who also agreed with that? Even the Jehovah's Witness said that. Yeah, the Word is Jesus. Because they can deny the context. That means that Jesus was with God the Father from the beginning in equality and distinction of identity. Am I making sense? Hello? Okay. Then skeptic would say, how would John know about this? It was before his birth, as you said, preacher, how would he know? Can you guess? Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God is a profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Holy Spirit revealed it to him. Alright, let's back to the chapter 1, verse 1 of John. And too glad we don't go through the Bible in this speed. 1 John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was, say it with me, God. I tell you guys, it doesn't get any better than this. The Word was God. As I mentioned many times before, just about every single cult denied the deity of Jesus Christ. But with this simple sentence, Apostle Paul hushed them all. As I mentioned before, Jehovah's Witness acknowledged that. That's 1 John 1:1. The Word is Jesus. But they will add something else. They said that there is only, in their doctrine, they said there is only one God. Who is that? They say Jehovah. But their doctrine gets destroyed by their own Bible, as known as the New World Translation. There, John 1:1 is this way. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was a God. Little G God. So, tell me, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, how many gods do you have? You'll say, one. Then what's this? Little G God. You just denied your own doctrine. Am I making sense? So, the claim of a watchtower that defends their translation of 1:1 is that they said the second time God is used the passage, there's no article appeared. As you can see in your Bible, it is written God, not the God. In answer to this approach, Greek grammar and translation, we can only say it multiple times, other times throughout the entire New Testament. Whenever there is no article, just capital G-O-D in your translation, for them, they have to put the, capital G-O-D, or they have to put a with a lowercase G-O-D. Am I making sense? But they don't. When we have a regular capital G-O-D, they make it as a Jehovah. But how come your idea of grammar, this article applies in John 1:1 applies there, but not the rest of the Greek Hebrew, the rest of the New Testament? They cannot explain that. So they came up with another excuse. The main resource of the Watchtower used to establish their claim, the kingdom interlinear, the Watchtower quote the well-known Greek authority, Dr. Julius Robert Manti, to make him appear to agree with their translation. But Dr. Manti's comment was misquoted, and he was even written to the Watchtower Society and demanded his name be removed from their book. Did they? No. We are not going to go through the entire book of John, but we're going to jump into chapter 1, verse 14, next week, and not next week, following week. Next week, our favorite brother, one of our favorite brothers, Herb's going to teach, fill in for me as I prepare the teaching for the men's conference. Between verse 1 of chapter 1 and verse 14, we can summarize the entire book of John. Let's go to verse 14. I'll give you a preview. Remember, the Word is Jesus, right? The Word became what? Flesh. Dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the Holy, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that good or what? All right, three applications. If some choose not to believe the truth of God, it doesn't mean that truth does not exist. It only means that they don't get the benefit of knowing the truth and they will be eternally lost. Second application, We should not put God in our concept of time limit because He is the one who created, and Creator cannot be ruled by a creature. A lot of times we try to limit God with our time, with our ideas. Please don't. God is not ruled by our mentality or ideology. John 1:1 is the genealogy of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He's God, and He has been coexisting with God the Father from the eternal beginning. Genesis 1:1 starts with the creation, when the time starts. But John 1:1 go all the way back before the word beginning ever existed. The time when God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were together.